Percy Jackson is no ordinary teenager. He's just learned he's a son of Poseidon and is accused of stealing Zeus's lightning bolt, the most powerful weapon ever created. With storm clouds brewing, Percy embarks on an incredible cross-country journey to prove his innocence.
Welcome to Floor 600, a podcast where two friends read the Percy Jackson and the Olympus series. We are your hosts,
Adelie
and Quinn. You sound so happy. As of last episode, we have finished our reading The Lightning Thief, and now we are torturing ourselves by what for you. We're doing this for you, okay? So
it's not like we decided to do this for fun.
But we are watching, we have watched Percy Jackson and the Olympians, colon, The Lightning Thief. So we've watched that. So listen to us while we tell you everything that this movie got wrong, and maybe something that got right?
I think there's a few things.
Yeah, a few, maybe. It's hard to say.
If it sounds like I'm sick, it's because I am.
Yeah.
Move along.
Sorry. Okay. So, this movie came out in 2010, almost, or 9 years ago. So, yes. Did you see it when it came out? I think we knew each other, so we might have even seen it together.
I honestly don't remember. I think I probably waited and saw it, like...
Yeah. I don't remember either. I remember seeing Sea of Monsters in theaters. I don't know why I saw it. I had some, like, glimmer of hope that it wasn't going to be horrible. I just wanted to see him be turned into a gerbil, and they didn't do it. We'll get to that when we get to that, but... I don't remember seeing it in theaters, but I remember seeing it.
And I remember honestly being... didn't remember, like, most of the plot at all. Like, I was like, oh yeah, there's the Sea of Monsters movie.
Yeah. I definitely remembered the stupidity of the pearls.
Yeah.
And I remember Uma Thurman. And I remembered Pierce Brosnan, because he's James Bond.
Of course.
And I think I just purposely blocked out everything to do with Hades. There's a lot of stuff that I didn't remember, and I was reading, or I was watching it, and just going, why? Why would you do this?
Yeah, same, pretty much. I was taking notes, and I just turned into, like, this super long list of things that was just like, why? Why? Why?
Well, I was watching it at 2 o'clock in the morning, because I couldn't fall asleep. And, oh, my notes turned into a manifesto. It started getting very ranty, and, oh, it's a glorious thing. And then I sort of later then took it, and then I was like, maybe I'll take this manifesto and turn it into a scholarly paper.
Yeah, you should, and then some, like, college kid can use it.
Yeah.
They find it at 2 a.m.
If I make it, I'm going to title it Text to Film, Adaptation and Translation. The Adaptation of Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning... Colon! The Lightning Thief.
Colon!
Colon is very important.
Alright, so let's jump into some facts that are all pulled from the IMDb page for this movie.
Yep.
So first of all, yes, it was released on the 12th of February, 2010. It has a runtime of 118 minutes, which is approximately 100 minutes too long.
You wanted an 18 minutes, like a short TV episode, like an extra short episode.
Yeah.
Director Christopher Columbus, which I would think when it was first announced that Christopher Columbus was directing the Percy Jackson movie, people were excited. Christopher Columbus, after all, created the... Remember, he was the one to adapt Harry Potter. And he did a really good job with the first two movies. He almost took the first two movies are almost too literal. And I feel like he took that criticism and went too far on Percy Jackson.
It has a 5.9 out of 10 rating on IMDb.
Yeah, I think it has like a 40-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes.
It went down 1,018 in popularity. Rough.
So it came out in 2010. You know, one no other movies that came out in 2010?
Tell me.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh my gosh.
Inception. Toy Story 3. How to Train Your Dragon. Easy A. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Oh my god.
Tangled. 127 Hours. A whole bunch of, like, relatively okay movies came out, and then Percy Jackson came out.
Some people would argue really, relatively great movies.
Oh, sorry. Well, I was...
But I just, that made me feel so old.
I know, right?
Christopher Columbus directed it, yes, as you said. His other directing credits include the first two Harry Potter movies.
Yep.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yep.
Home Alone and Adventures in Babysitting, which if you are any kind of 80s movie people person. Like we are, then you'll recognize those titles.
Adventures really in good Babysitting is the best freaking movie. It yeah. inspired me to babysit. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It made me never want to babysit ever.
Oh.
I still hate fun. Babysitting.
I wanted to meet the possibility of Thor.
We're not talking about that remake they did, okay?
No.
The original one.
I've never talked about the remake.
Me neither. Is it even worth talking about? I don't know.
No, we might cut all this.
So,
Wait, we need to talk about the cinematographer, because okay. I did listen to a podcast called, oh God, why can't it? It's called the Cinematographer Podcast or something like that. But it was out and about when the movie came out, and he recorded it as a advertisement for the movie or whatever, promotional. It was promotional stuff for Percy Jackson.
Right.
And it was sort of sad because there were moments where you could tell that he knew that this movie was not great, and he was sort of like steering away from things.
Oh my gosh.
But his name is Steven Goldblatt, and he has a whole bunch of really good credits. He did Batman Forever and The Help. And Lethal Weapon, and Julia and Julia, and I think he did Lethal Weapon 2. They were talking about that in the episode.
Wait, I think it said that Chris Columbus did The Help 2.
Did he?
So, yeah, he did. He helped produce it.
Huh. Well, I know that they worked together on Rent, because Steven Goldblatt also cinematographed Rent with Chris Columbo. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool. So this was, like, not even their first time.
No, and the together. Podcast is American Cinematographer Podcasts. Wow. They talk to American cinematographers.
That's very specific. I like it.
Yeah, and the episode was Percy Jackson, : The Lightning Thief, / Steven Goldblatt, : ASC, : BSC, : episode number 15.
Why are you reading the punctuation out loud?
I don't know, because there's a lot of punctuation. And it was released April 26th, 2010. I didn't know podcasts were that old.
They are. So, starring in this movie, we have Logan Lerman as Percy Jackson. I actually really like Logan Lerman, because he was really good in The Price of Being a Wallflower, and he was also in 310 to Yuma.
Yeah.
In our personal...
My personal favorite.
favorite movie to debate.
The Patriot. He's in it. He's he's the second youngest Wallace child. Or Wallace? No, Martin. Martin. Their last names are Martin. I feel like a horrible fan. Patriot's the best movie. It is rated R, so... I don't know, but it's also the best movie. It's rated R,
but we both watched it when we were like 5 years old and 6 years old. So.
It traumatized Natalie. It like infatuated me.
Yeah, it really did though.
It did.
We literally have a whole other podcast about that.
Podcast that no one will ever hear.
Yeah.
It's a great thing. Well, we can talk about it for hours. Well, I can talk about it for hours, but some other time.
Okay. Coming back from that tangent.
Never mind. Okay. Back on track. Who else stars in this movie?
We also have Brandon T. Jackson as Grover, whom mm-hmm.
I looked him up, and he has steady jobs. I just don't recognize any of the jobs that he's doing, so hooray, he's still working?
Somebody listening to this would probably be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you haven't seen this incredible movie he did, and blah, blah, blah. So if that's you, let us know what it is, and we'll watch it.
Because he did seem talented. He can dance with those goat legs like no one else.
Oh, yeah, he was really, he seems like a really good actor.
And then Annabeth.
Yes. Is Alexandra Daddario.
Which, and I have seen her over the years.
Yes.
In stuff. Like, she was in White Collar as, like, the love interest that wanted nothing to do with the main character. And then she was in Baywatch.
Where she played a character named Summer Quinn. That's you in, like, 3 months.
What, because I'll be in the summer.
And your name is Quinn.
God. And then I think she was in, like, other movies with The Rock and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't
know. She's been around.
And the main critique I've seen about her portrayal of Annabeth is her hair color and eye color. And I get that. But I also get that changes must be made for movies, even though this movie went overboard.
Yeah.
There's some of these changes that it's like, if you had kept everything else the same as the book and changed this, I would have been fine.
Yeah, so it's like the thing with the contacts. Like, Daniel Radcliffe started out wearing green-colored eye contacts, but he hurt his eyes too much, and so he just had his normal eyes.
Or Orlando Bloom and as Legolas, he...
Yeah.
In some, like, in close-up scenes, he has blue contact lenses in, but they were just a pain in the butt, and he didn't like them. So in a lot of the group shots, he doesn't. And it's really funny, because it's like, oh my god, he has black eyes!
Can you imagine having to wear contacts for all your
Being the, like, digital editor, and being like, oh my god, he didn't do that, should I fix it?
No, just leave it alone. No,
leave it alone, and super fans will notice.
Yeah, and then they'll forget about it. We also have Jake Abel playing Luke, Sean Bean as Zeus, Kevin McKidd as Poseidon, and Catherine Keener as Queen Sally Jackson.
Yes, and I gotta say, did not like Catherine Keener as Sally Jackson.
No.
She was very whiny, and she seemed weak, and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
She just... And I understand, like, oh, she had to be, like, oh, she's an abused woman.
Because who cares?
Like, even in the book, yes, she's an abused woman, but she stands up for her son, and she does it. She just stands in the background of that first scene.
Ironing.
While Percy almost gets into a fist fight with Gabe.
Yeah. Like, you think Sally wouldn't have been like,
Sally would not
me.
Have, no.
Keep
no.
your hands off my son.
Mm-mm. Nope. They needed to fix that.
What feminine thing can a mother be doing when her son returns home from school? Oh, I know. Ironing. Might as well have stuck her in the kitchen.
Angers me. Angers me so much. I'm looking up this guy's name because if I can... Okay, there.
Whose name?
They actually cast an actor to play Ares. And I know this actor, and I love this actor, and they cut him out. You can see him in some of the group shots in Olympus. And so this guy's name is Ray Winstone. I don't know. He talks like this. I don't know. He talks like this. I can't do his accent. It's very intense.
You just offended so many people.
He so talks. He's all rough and tumble. He's a rough and tumble British dude.
He's not posh.
No, he's not posh. But he's in a lot of stuff. He was in, oh god, what was it? He was in the King Arthur movie from the 2000s with Clive Owen. He played one of the King Arthur's men. Also one of my top movies. I watched The Patriot and then King Arthur. And he like pees on a thing. It's funny. He's like the comic relief character. He's in Hugo. You watched Hugo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he plays, like, the drunk uncle who dies in the beginning.
Oh.
Spoiler alert.
Well, if he dies in the beginning, it's fine.
I don't know. He's in a lot of stuff, and he's a really good actor, and they just cut him out, and it's very
so
upsetting.
That's so bizarre.
Oh, he's in Snow White and the Huntsman?
Ooh, that was not a great movie
either. That was not. He's had some bad choices. But I he's still a good actor. And they just cut him out. And he would have been a perfect Ares.
It's so weird. Why did they just cut him out?
And by casting it makes me think that at one point Ares and that entire storyline was in the movie. At one point.
We'll get to the storyline later.
And they cut it out. Cut it all out.
Yeah. That's really strange. So, who else did they cut out? Oh, I know. Talia.
Oh, well, she never actually makes a physical appearance in the book, so I can see why they would cut it out.
Because it's she's just like a massive storyline.
I know. She sort of is the reason Luke is the way Luke is, and yeah. Without that entire storyline, it's like, why is Luke evil? He's just a moody teen.
Yeah.
And...
And I was like, there's a, you know, in the beginning scene where they're all running to camp and they get to, like,
the camp entrance. I actually liked that arch. Yeah. I think it should have been a tree.
It looks cool.
But it does look cool.
This isn't a hill. And then I was like, there's no tree. This isn't Camp Hafla.
No.
This is an imposter.
No.
So that really irritated me.
Mm-hmm. They completely changed the character of Charon.
Oh, yeah. Why is he so lame?
He's so gross looking. And I looked him up, too. He plays Death in Supernatural. That's more of your thing.
Yeah, I definitely
which
recognize
is the
him, though.
Same character.
Yeah, practically.
That he plays in. It wouldn't have been in the same character if they played it like the book. He would have been cool.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, sure. All the women are weak and frail in this movie. Charon's supposed to be black, but who cares about diversity, apparently.
Add diversity.
Except for Grover.
And then...
I do really like Brandon T. Jackson as Grover.
I do, too. I don't like the illustrations of Grover as, like a gendered goatee guy with a Rasta hat. The Rasta hat just makes it look almost offensive.
Yeah, it does.
It's like, I get it, it's in the book, but come on, change with the times, man.
Yeah. I think Logan Lerman as Percy, like,
I
don't think he does a great job of portraying him, but
no.
I think that has a lot more to do with the fact that he's 16.
Yeah. And I think he portrays the movie Percy really well. Because they took out all of the Percy's persassy moments.
Persassy.
And so, Logan plays it, like, very seriously.
Yeah.
The movie is taken very seriously. It takes itself so seriously. And it's like, you do have to realize who your art audience is.
Yeah.
And it's someone probably who's read the book.
Definitely.
Who is looking for a lighthearted but serious romp.
Yeah.
A fantasy adventure. And what they got is a poorly done lightheartedness.
Yeah, and he's like, he reads to me like he feels almost arrogant.
Yeah.
And, like, Percy is not arrogant at all. Like, he's silly.
He's, like, clueless
goofy.
And silly and...
He is impertinent, but he's not arrogant.
And
I feel like Alexandra Daddario did a good job, but...
But...
She wasn't, like... She wasn't the Annabeth I know and love.
I know. They could... Because I feel like a main part of Annabeth in the books is her backstory with her dad. They make a big deal about that. And they don't talk on that at all.
At all.
And because of that, I think they miss out on all of the character development of her. Like, they were doing really... I think the first half of the movie was doing a pretty good job character development-wise. And then... As soon as they got on the quest, they were like, who cares about characters?
Yeah.
Let's see monsters. And they don't even do a good job of that.
Like, is it... No. Is it even specified that Annabeth in the movie is a daughter of Athena?
I think when they first meet her, she goes like, oh, I'm a daughter of Athena. And okay. I
don't like Poseidon.
I always win.
Oh, yeah.
And they would be
like... That's right. Super dramatic.
Super dramatic / sexual, yeah.
I did like Chiron and Pierce Brosnan as Chiron and Sean Bean as Zeus.
Yes.
I was not super thrilled with Kevin McKidd or Catherine Keener as Poseidon and Sally Jackson, respectively.
No. Yes. And I don't really know Kevin McKidd, his other works, and I'm sort of just like, you probably are a Shakespearean actor, and this is sort of sad for you.
Yeah. Like, he's not beachy. No. At all. And he's not, like... I just felt like he had no, like, real character, and he was just like, oh, I feel terrible for my son, which is not canon at all.
No.
And then Catherine Keener.
And I didn't like the law that Zeus passed, because that's not canon at all, and mm-mm. It made it worse. Because Zeus for not that's... supposed to have them. And, like, Poseidon the most in that.
Yeah. Any other casting comments?
I don't think so. Maybe eventually.
Yeah, so moving on to set and costumes. I thought the costumes are really cool.
Yeah.
So they remind me of the Lord of the Rings, which has, like, the best fantasy costumes.
Yeah, like, their armor-wise. And yeah. I liked that, the, like, it reminded me of the Wonder Woman movie, because mm-hmm. it wasn't scantily clad women in armor that would cause them to die. It was was actual working armor that would protect you. Not your arms, because they never cover their arms for some reason.
You don't need arms. But yeah, the Lord of the Rings people also did the Chronicles of Narnia armor. That series started out real good. But this is why you have to have structure. Go off on
the tangents. We were trying to, but I don't know, it's hard with movies. So we're going back in. Okay, so we're in costumes. Okay. And then I like that they just wear normal clothes. And I think the costumes really came into play with the gods. When they showed the gods, their costumes really showed their personalities.
Oh, yeah.
So Poseidon and his lack of personality. Zeus and his sort of, like, very serious demeanor. He's in, like, a suit and, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's very jowly and he's Sean Bean. And, who else do we meet? Hades as his, like, rocker self, which is nothing like the book, and it was sort of annoying. And Persephone being present at all in the summer when she's not supposed to be in. Ugh!
Yeah.
Let's and they just wanted to put Rosario Dawson in a corset. They just wanted her there.
She was cool. I mean, Persephone's going to be there. At least she's cool.
Yeah. But overall, I think the costumes did good in setting the scene. And then, what was it? Oh, sets. I thought, because they did a lot of, like, the main sets that were sort of, like, supposed to be, like, awe-inspiring are all CGI.
Right.
And I thought that Olympus was extremely disappointing. And Hades, the underworld, could have been cool if they portrayed the underworld and not just...
the Fields of Punishment?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all just, like, they're floating across the Fields of Punishment. Yeah,
and it's just fire and run. There is no good place in this place.
No.
There is no medium place either. There's just bad place and very bad place.
Yeah. And it's kind of lame. It's kind of cool how they have, like, the trash floating by.
Yeah, I did like that. Yeah.
And it's like, and it's imagine it's...
they lost dreams. And they say that in the book. They describe, like, oh, the river is so polluted. Why is this? It's like, oh, book.
Yeah.
But I did like the way that they portrayed the river. But everything else was sort of disappointing.
Yeah. I did like the Garden Gnome Emporium.
Yeah. I think that was really... it was also well shot. Like, the way that it was shot, so, like, it was like, you really did lose the characters. You had no idea where they are. And
right.
Everyone's confused, and you're just hearing things.
And then all of a sudden, Percy shows up, and you're like, oh... but I have more to pick about that scene later. So, why is camp so small? Like, why are they practicing archery across the path?
Yeah. I feel like they wanted to show that, oh, this is a huge thing. Like, there's all of these different kind of demigods, and they couldn't do that in an actual camp setting, because then it would be, yeah, there's 20 people in that field over there that you can't see. And there's 20 more in that one.
They could have done, like, such a cool, like,
they could have done panoramic, a really cool, like, cutscene
shot thing or something like that. But instead we just get this, like, everybody's condensed in this one area. And this literally, this camp takes up an entire valley.
Yeah. And they did show a lot of, like, wood scenes, so it's like, oh, there could be more in the woods, and there's a clearing behind that thing. So it was, like, it was weird, and I did not like, this is going into it, but I didn't like Chiron's reveal. I wanted him to come out of the wheelchair, and it being like, whoa! But instead, we get to see Pierce Brosnan walk like a horse. Because whoever CGI'd him... Yeah. Have you seen a horse walk? They Ever? Do not have a swagger. Like,
big, and the back legs are fine. It's just the front legs that are CGI'd like a human gait, not a horse's gait. And it's the worst thing ever. It's
really bad.
It's so bad. Ugh.
There's so many groans in this episode.
Ugh.
So let's actually get into the plot.
Oh boy.
Hooray. All right. So, this movie starts out already wrong, because they show, the movie starts out by telling the audience exactly who Percy is, with Poseidon coming up out of the ocean, and like, oh, here's he talking to Zeus, and, oh, I'm talking about my son Percy, and this is the whole plot of this movie, blah, 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 and he's a demigod, and it's gonna be really dangerous for
Exposition.
Him.
Exposition. Blah, 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 blah. Why did Poseidon and Zeus have to meet? Outside.
They could have done an iris message. They could have, I don't even know.
Hey,
let
me call my brother.
On my shell phone. But it's like, that's a major mystery in the book. Of like, who is his father? What is a demigod? Well, he comes out in the like first line is like, I didn't want to be a half-blood.
But you don't know all the details,
and they tell you all the details right up front, and then they spent the next 20 minutes explaining those details that you were explained with to in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
They take 20 minutes to explain it to Percy.
Yeah, because once they get to camp, and then Chiron takes him to his cabin, which doesn't have walls, which is actually cool looking.
But it doesn't have walls.
And, well, I mean, they don't
imagine the winter.
If they want it
I guess you're only there for the summer, but there's some campers that live there all year.
They can control the weather, though.
Okay.
But, like, Chiron's like, oh, yes, this is the cabin of Poseidon, your father. And Percy's just like, okay, sounds cool.
He's like, my dad?
Like, there's no angst about it. He's just like, oh, my dad made this cabin for me. This is where I live now.
Yeah.
No, what?
And it seemed like every student, every camper had its own cabin, which just seems impractical and probably dangerous.
Luke has his own cabin.
Yeah.
I'm like, why does Luke have his own cabin? And, like, okay, so maybe that's just a nitpicky thing about revealing Poseidon right away, but it's not, because that is a strategic move on Poseidon's part in the possibility of this war happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't reveal Percy because he feels like he loves him.
He keeps him hidden because he does think, oh, this will be, like, proof against me. It will work against me. And then when Percy is revealed, like, oh, yeah, you're Poseidon's son, he's like, all right, I'm owning up to it. He is my son. And this is what we have to do to make him look good.
Yeah. That's annoying.
It was a bad choice. Bad choice.
Why are they all 16?
I can see it in the adaptation world. Maybe the director, or maybe Chris Columbus didn't want to work with more kids, do another series with kids. He had just gone off of Harry Potter. I don't know. Maybe they just wanted to age him up so that they could sex him up.
I think that's it. Because I
don't know. They
aging them 4 years wiped out so much longevity.
Well, it also wiped out the entire plot of the overarching plot of the books, because the overarching plot is when Percy turns 16, all of these things are going to happen.
Right. And so what is that now, when he turns 18?
But then that only gives you 2 years to make all of the, like, 5 books.
Yeah.
So, okay, when he turns 21. No. Like, it's like...
Logan Lerman was already 17 in this movie.
Yeah. And what's her name? Annabeth. I can't remember.
I think she was, like, 18 or 19.
No, she was, like, 24.
Really?
Yeah. But yeah, she was 24, which is annoying, because she's supposed to, even in the movies world, she's supposed to be 16. Get teens to play teens. I know it's a crazy idea.
So if her character's 16 and she's 6 years older than her character. I don't know, I guess if you look young forever, it's a good trait as an actor.
I guess, but...
Till you want to start playing people your age and then you're still 25 and you're playing a 16-year-old.
It's like, I haven't actually watched it yet, but what's the movie, is it 13? Or 8th grade, 8th grade that came out.
I want to see that.
That they actually have a 8th grader playing an 8th grader, and it's like, oh my god! Bo Burnham is awesome. I know, Bo Burnham is really great. But... They could have...
Yeah.
And then... They sexed everything up, including Grover, especially Grover.
Ugh.
And I can sort of see it, even in just the mythology. Like, not in the book. It's nowhere in the book. Ever in the book.
Yeah, because he's supposed to have the maturity of a 12-year-old, too.
Yeah. And in this, it's not... That's not... But I guess if someone was reading just mythology and reading Satyr mythology... They are very sexual beings, so maybe the writer was like, I'll improve upon this already wonderful universe that Rick Riordan has created by ruining the character.
There's so many parts that it's just like, ugh. I read an article that was basically Rick's reaction to the screenplay and how he was just like ranting about how they sexed up his children's story. And he's like, this is a children's story. This is not about this.
Yeah. And I read an article that was basically Rick saying, it was like a letter to teachers saying, don't watch my movie. Like, read my book, don't watch this movie. I recommend against it. It's not, like, you will not get anything out of it. Like, because the books, you learn stuff. And in the movie, you learn incorrect stuff.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
It is frustrating. Mm. It's just so unnecessary. Like, I get sex sells or whatever, but why does it have to be in every movie? This would have sold.
And they couldn't sex up 12-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly. That's creepy. Ugh.
We went off on again, but we're still on plot. So,
yep.
They get to whatever, camp, and they do that stuff. And then they have to, like, Hades shows up randomly.
Yeah, as a giant fire monster. He looks like he's straight out of, like, War of the Worlds or something.
Yeah, not War of the Worlds, that's Aliens. I will fix your references.
Wow. He looks like he's straight out of that video game that my brother likes.
Oh.
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft.
That was close.
You were. yeah, he's not the Hades we know and love.
No.
And
it's like, why would he just show up in camp? Are you kidding me?
He wouldn't. And he gives away his weakness. The main weakness is that, because in the book, they think that Hades has the bolt.
Yeah.
And they're going to Hades to get the bolt. And in the movie, he thinks they have the bolt. And they... are for some reason still going there?
To get Sally.
That becomes the driving factor of this movie. Not the lightning bolt.
Ugh.
The Sally. The unmemorable Sally.
Yeah, who we saw for, like, what, 2 minutes tops?
Yeah, and she gave some bad line reading about her romance with Poseidon. And,
ugh. So don't it's worry. Like, oh... Okay, so now the whole plot is not to stop a war that would destroy the world.
It's to save one human being.
Yeah. How does that play into Percy's
And because
existence?
Of this, for some reason, they can't get their quest approved by Chiron.
Yeah.
So they have to sneak out because it's a bad quest and Chiron knows this. God, in first episode, I hated Chiron. This movie, love Chiron. Chiron's correct in everything. Movie Chiron, go Chiron. He's a horrible teacher.
Don't you mean Mr. Bruner?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Bruner. I can't even say the names right. And that's coming from us. who can't say anything right.
But, like, yous don't usually make that sound in English.
I would have rathered it than that he, when he introduced himself, he went, the centaur, Chiron, the centaur, in, like, James Bond style. And, oh,
that would have been that would have been funny. And then there could have been a funny thing about, like, why are you talking like James Bond?
Yeah. And then they would have been like, oh, we need that villain from GoldenEye.
But, like, why? So when they go into Luke's cabin, why does he just have all this random technology?
Because he's a child of Hermes, and he stole all of it, and he's cool. He's a cool kid. Come on, he's so cool. Don't you know? He's a cool kid. We need to look up to him. We need to listen to everything that he says.
Because he's sitting there and he without a care in the world playing video games.
And he gives us a pointless shield that would break. The structural
shield is not pointless. It has the bolt in it.
It shouldn't have the bolt on it in it. It shouldn't exist. And the structural integrity of a shield that unfolds like that would be nothing.
Magic.
As soon as something touched it, it would collapse.
Because magic.
We completely skipped over the fight scene. Capture the flag when Clarice is written out.
Ugh, yeah. Rude. I like Clarice, sort of.
In a way, like, I like Clarice in the way that I like a bad character, or like a bad person. Like, the way that you like Draco. You like Clarice in the same way you like Draco.
Yeah.
Except you don't ship Clarice with an apple. Haven't you seen that?
Oh.
Yeah, people ship Drapple. Draco and an apple. Okay. You know that apple he puts in the disappearing closet or whatever?
I don't want to talk about this anymore. They also cut out Nancy Boba Fett.
Which is sad. But I guess according to one of the trivias on IMDb, they say that there is a redhead with freckles in one of the hallways. So maybe she was in there and...
They cut her out?
Like Ares. Thanks so much. But in the thing, or during the freaking capture the flag, before the, like, he's literally thrown in. He's like, your dad is Poseidon, now we train. And instead of training, we just go straight to full-blown capture the flag with actual weapons. And he's just like, I don't have a helmet. And they're like, how do you not have a helmet? And the thing is, the helmets are color-coded. He didn't have a team beforehand. He shouldn't have had a helmet.
And also, Mr. Chiron is like, does anybody have an extra helmet? And then it just comes, somebody just happens to have an extra helmet.
Yeah. And then, as soon as the thing starts, and Luke, who made the huge deal of, you have to have a helmet or you'll die, immediately loses his helmet. Immediately, because I gotta show my blonde hair and my scarless face.
Oh yeah, he doesn't have the scar.
And then he fights Annabeth instead of Clarice because Athena always wins, and he magically gets sword powers as soon as he touches the water. He automatically knows sword fighting for the rest of the movie. And, like, in the book, yeah, that sort of happens, but it doesn't, because the water gives him endurance, not skill. He still has that skill.
Yeah, and he learns like, heals him. Mm-hmm. So annoying. Mm-hmm. And then he just, like, real arrogantly marches up and takes the flag. Like,
and
he
then
doesn't
he's
even
just
find the flag.
And then they go straight to a party where they are definitely drinking alcohol. Alcohol is being served at this school function, or camp function. There is also a satyr roasting a pig. In that scene, satyrs are vegetarians. Grover would probably die at the sight of that.
Well, no, because he was too busy flirting with the
Aphrodite
daughters.
Yeah.
Ugh. The worst.
Okay, and then there's the highway to hell queue. Luke is all like, oh, well, now you're on the highway to hell. And then they show him, and they're like,
I'm on the highway to hell.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Mrs. Dodds. They don't kill Mrs. Dodds in the beginning. So I thought, Because I thought that Mrs. Dodds was going to return during the boss scene, and they were going to kill him then. Because then it would make sense, because it would be less for them to explain. They wouldn't have to explain monster regeneration, you know?
Yeah, that's true. She doesn't disappear in the sparkles?
No. Oh. She just crashes out of a window. Oh, when Kyren goes, "I shall avenge thee," or some bullshit. Whatever. and then they go in the wrong direction of St. Louis, and they go to Nashville.
Well, yeah, because now the whole point is to find the pearls, and Luke just conveniently
Can we do
has...
math for a second? So they're after 3 pearls. How many people are going to the underworld? 3. How many are supposed to leave?
4.
Oh no, we're gonna have to leave someone behind.
Duh.
We could have done math right there and kicked Grover out.
Well, Luke, for whatever reason, conveniently has the pearl map, and he's just like, you only know which one comes next when you find the first one.
And we don't, Kronos isn't in this movie.
At all.
At all. So we don't know why Luke would want Hades to get the bolt. So yeah. Luke just wants a war, general war between the gods.
But why? Motivation.
And,
question mark.
Luke has zero motivation in this movie. They go to... I actually sort of liked the Parthenon scene.
Mm-mm.
I don't like that I liked it that much, but yeah. like Percy flying, not a thing. Should it be a thing? He would die.
yeah, because he can't use...
But I did like
the shoes.
I liked the Hydra, because I just like the portrayal of Hydras in movies. Yeah. They're always done pretty well.
Like, for a scene that is just,
and like
you
when
know,
yeah,
superfluous in ways, it's not bad.
And then Annabeth, like, shoots all those dudes, and Grover and Percy are freaking out because they're like, oh my god, Annabeth murdered people! That was a good part.
Yeah, that was funny.
I was like, oh, this I can see in the book. This I can see.
Yeah.
But no.
She's so VA.
And then...
So let's do a quick recap.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Percy gets to camp. He's already knows he's the son of Poseidon right away.
Which is stupid.
They do no training.
Which is stupid.
Costumes are cool, though.
Cool.
The whole quest after Hades shows up is not to stop a war between the gods, but to find his mother.
Yes.
Luke still has given them this map. For the 3 pearls.
Yeah. And his reasonings are poor.
Yes.
Because they cut the reasonings out.
So we have no motivation for Luke. Grover's characterization is 100% wrong.
Annabeth and Percy are already just like...
It's like a love at first sight
yeah.
thing. Come on, let's be real. Like, as soon as they saw each other, they were like,
what does Annabeth say? Like, oh, I have an opinion on you, but I haven't decided if that opinion's good,
if it's
or,
good or bad.
If it's good or bad yet. That's actually a very good line, and I liked it. I was like, oh, you go.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah,
the Parthenon scene isn't bad.
Yeah, and then they go to the Parthenon, and they get one of these stupid little pearls, and then they go to... Or no, first they go to Aunt Em's. So they go to Medusa. And that was a good scene, I think. And then after that, they go to the Parthenon. You have issues with the Auntie
M? I have the issues with the Auntie M scene.
My main issue is Medusa is Uma Thurman and not a...
Middle Eastern woman?
Middle Eastern woman.
Well, they didn't care about diversity.
Nope.
It was also 2010.
Yep.
No, my issue is, in the book, in this scene, Annabeth is like... hollering instructions, and she knows, of course, right away what's going on. Well, not right away, but pretty fast.
Yeah.
And she puts on her Yankees cap, and she's like, run. Don't look at her.
She knows what's happening.
In this scene, in the movie, she finds the random woman who's there for some reason, and is held captive by her when she gets turned into a statue, thus turning her into a victim and not into a hero.
I didn't even think about that. That is so true, and that's really annoying.
Why can't she be as kick butt as the guys? It's ridiculous.
It is. And she doesn't even drive the car when they crash the car through Medusa. It's Grover driving, not Annabeth.
Yeah. No, Annabeth is driving, I think.
I thought it was Grover.
I thought at the end he was like, good driving, Annabeth.
Huh. Well, either way, it annoyed me. And, yeah, they made her into a victim, which she is not a victim.
Ever. She is so cool. Ugh. And I hated what they did to her. Ugh.
Mm-mm. And then after that, they drive, because they're 16, to...
Where do they find this truck? They just keep the truck.
They keep the truck. Oh, and then they have to go to the... They go to the motel.
Yeah. And they have Medusa's head.
And scare the maid. Which, honestly, I think that maid would probably think that it was...
Not real.
Not real. Because, oh, there's a, honestly, plastic-looking head with snakes on it. It's not real.
Like, yeah. Does no. she... Is there,
it
like,
wouldn't be things.
Is the assumption that the mortals don't know about mythology at all and she's never heard of who Medusa is?
She would probably more think, oh, it's some kids doing a project or something.
Yeah. Unless it was just like one of those glanced in the window, like got freaked out things, but still, I think it's dumb.
Yep.
So then they have one pearl, and there's like that little bit of exposition at the pool, but I don't remember what it is, which means it's probably not very important.
Yeah, I think it was just, like, him talking about his mom or something like that, yeah. Or whatever. And they keep doing stupid, like, Ferris Bueller scenes at the bottom of the pool. And he has, like, an unnatural love of water. It's like, how did you not know that you were weird? That you could go underwater for 15 minutes without problem?
Well, there's that part at the beginning where he's like, how long was I under? And Grover's like, 7 minutes! And he's like, wow. And then...
No!
They're just, like, at the pool.
You know how long it takes to train to go underwater for that long?
Yeah, that would be, like, a pretty big hint.
That's, like, a serious athletic feat.
So, like, if Grover's still his protector, right?
Yes.
So, if as soon as he gets to camp, they can be like, oh, yes, your father is Poseidon, why couldn't Grover just tell him from the beginning?
So, they should not have gone to Sally in the beginning. After it is revealed that, oh, Percy, you've got to go to Half-Blood Hill. You've got to go. And Grover goes with him. And Chiron just, like, peace out. I'm gone. And, I don't know, whinnies up to Half-Blood Hill. And then they go to Sally and have all this exposition about, your father was a very nice man.
Yeah. Oh. It doesn't make any sense.
Chiron could have just sent Sally, like, a message saying, like, it is time! And just took him. But no. But, again, so we're in a strange pool again, and then they get kicked out of the thing, and they go to Nashville. Should have gone to Nashville. They should have gone to St. Louis. St. Louis is not portrayed, like, ever in a movie. Could have gotten some nice publicity for them. But no. No, we go to Nashville to the Parthenon, which I've actually been to the Parthenon in Nashville.
Nice.
Yeah.
I've been to Nashville, but I haven't been to the Parthenon.
It's a building. I don't know. Don't remember much about it.
Yeah, I kind of like that scene. For what it is.
Yeah. I liked it, and the Hydra was cool. I think the Hydra was well done.
Like how Percy's like... Oh, I'll just cut off one of its heads. And Annabeth is like, no.
Yeah, throughout the time when he was, like, just cutting everyone's heads off, she was like, stop it. Stop it. Stop.
What are you doing?
You've messed this whole thing up. Then they keep driving, and they get to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yep.
And they go to the Lotus Casino, and they eat some cookies, and they're stuck there forever. And then Poseidon is talking to Percy through magic.
Yeah, because apparently they hear their godly parents' voices in their heads now.
Yeah. Hooray. Then there's some Lady Gaga and some Kesha playing.
Which, like, I wasn't really mad about that.
No, I wasn't either.
I kind of liked it.
I was like, yeah, Grover, dance your heart away.
But also at the same time, it's stupid. Why is Grover dancing?
Yeah.
Sexed it up again.
And then he proposes to all those girls, and they're all for it. It's like, come on. And then...
So just unnecessary.
He figures out that he, like, everyone, we're trapped when he sees some guy playing French Connection pinball, which...
What is French Connection?
Oh, it's a movie with, I don't remember his name, but I thought it was very boring. It's a lot of, we're following a guy. Let's watch him from behind a corner.
Sounds boring.
revolutionized the genre. That doesn't mean it's good. So they escape from the Lotus Casino by, oh, by the way, the pearl, this very important pearl, was just being used as a ball.
Yeah.
In one of those spinny thingies.
Yeah. Which is just ridiculous.
Roulette table.
And then Percy's like, this is weird, or whatever he says to the staff member, and then the staff member's like, Jackson's awake.
Yeah.
Like, why are they just suddenly tracking Percy Jackson?
And then they steal this the car, and they're like, all right, where do we go now? Where is the underworld? And it's behind the freaking Hollywood sign because they couldn't afford, I don't know, a room that would be, I don't know.
Yeah, so we don't see Procrustes.
Nope.
Procrustes.
And we don't get DOA records.
Yeah. Which is a bummer.
And then we don't get a cool Charon. We get a creepy Charon who burns a whole bunch of money.
Yeah, because they're so stupid they don't know that he doesn't want human money.
Come on.
Come on. And then Percy's like, the Drachmas. Yeah. Duh.
Oh, that thing that we got from Auntie M's.
Yeah.
That was just randomly there. And then, they go to the underworld, and we've already talked about the underworld and its disappointingness.
Okay, but also, the way they get into the underworld is kind of cool.
Yeah, like the whole, like, the boat, like, the...
Well, like, when they go up the hill, and then, I don't know how they know to go there.
Oh, there's I don't no either. Hints. They're, like, following a map that literally just says a city name.
Yeah.
How I don't know. Annabeth decoded something. I don't know. And then, what else? They get to the underworld. We've talked a lot about the underworld already, but the main thing is Persephone's there. Persephone's not supposed to be there.
No.
No.
Hades is lame looking.
Yeah. And I like that actor, Steve Coogan. He's a good actor. He's a funny dude.
Yeah, so, like, why is Persephone there other than to be angry at Hades and sex up Grover some more? Because he wasn't sexed up enough.
Be Rosario Dawson or whatever her name is.
Well, she can't help that.
Yeah, I know. I feel like they just wanted her in there.
Showing off and stuff, right? And then they're like, she's like, oh, give me the bolt or whatever, and she takes it from him or whatever it is and stuff.
And, like, tricks him, like, tricks him, and then...
I feel like I'm not...
Tricks him with her womanly wiles. Ugh. Yeah, and then he knocks him out, and then she's just like, he won't remember a thing. Tee-hee-hee. And gives them the lightning bolt back, and then she's like, peace out, man. And they're like, oh no, we counted wrong.
This whole time, we've been counting wrong.
And so they leave Grover behind because, I don't know.
Because they want him to be able to have sex with Persephone, apparently.
Yeah, I guess. And then Sally sucks, and they take her in the whatever. And they go to... They think happy thoughts and crush their pearls and end up in New York. Hooray. And they have to go to Olympus, and the entrance to Olympus is not the regular elevator, say floor 600. It's the tippy top of the Empire State Building already. You already have to get to a special floor, and then you have to go through a special door. Then you have to go behind a thing, underneath a thing, behind a thing, magically open. Now you can say, to the top, please!
And then somehow Sally Jackson knows, okay, this is the thing, she knows all these buttons to hit, where the door is hidden, but she can't get out of the elevator.
Nope.
So what sense does that make?
She came with Poseidon or something, and he was just like, so this is where I live, you can't come here, but you can look on...
And don't forget the fight with Luke,
who's
just there randomly.
The fight with Luke, where they fly the entire time.
And, like, go skidding, and Percy destroys the water tanks on top of some building just to wash Luke up.
And he would, Luke would be dead.
Yeah.
He was holding lightning, got hit with water. He is electrocuted. Oh, he wasn't electrocuted magically. He was in water, being waterboarded for like a minute and a half. He's dead.
He would have drowned.
He and they show him, like, drowned. Coughing a little bit, and it's,
he,
like...
He, like, moves a little, and yeah. The Percy's just, like, it's fine, and just, like,
he's just, like, I'm the son of Poseidon, and yeah. This is mine. Peace out, man.
So then they go, Sally can't get into Olympus.
They, Annabeth and Percy go to Olympus, and they see all the gods, including Athena, who is, I don't know her actual name. I probably could look it up if I actually wanted it. But the only thing I know her from is CSI New York.
Yeah, and then apparently, like, Annabeth has had no contact with Athena, so she's like, hi, Mom. And Athena somehow knows what she looks like.
Yeah, well, because the gods have been talking to their children. Oh, yeah, that's right. Like,
she's Melina Canacaridis. She was born in Akron, Ohio.
Let's start reading her bio.
And she is of Greek descent, so she is probably the best cast person in this whole movie.
I did, when I looked her up, because I did look her up, and I forgot her name, but she is going to be in the Netflix anime series, Gods and Heroes,
which
some people are saying, like, oh, could this be sort of like a hope for a good Percy Jackson type thing?
Yeah, I've seen
that. And she'll
be
in that.
That's cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Yes.
And Zeus is all like, thanks for my thing. Maybe the war won't start today.
And then he's like,
peace out.
Yeah. Bye. And then everybody leaves. And Poseidon's like, please, brother, give me time with my child. And Zeus is like, you have 5 minutes or whatever. So then Poseidon is like in his 10-foot-tall form.
Yep.
And Percy's like, whatever, Dad, you didn't care about me.
Why wouldn't he shrink right away? As soon as you're starting a conversation.
With a person
an intimate conversation. With the son that thinks you have abandoned him. Why would you stay at 300 feet tall? You would immediately shrink down to normal size and be like, hey bro, I relate, right? We're the same size.
Yeah, like peer-to-peer conversation. Not over him.
Person to God. And then he shrinks down, and then he's like, oh, I always loved you. I loved you too much.
Gag me. It's so stupid how, do you think the gods care that much about every single child they've ever spawned?
No.
No.
Look at Luke. No one cares about Luke.
And, like, they're supposed to have this, like, fatherly love. And it's just, like, no. Like you said, that's a horrible excuse.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, at the beginning, Percy doesn't even seem like he cares about the fact that his father has never talked to him. And now, all of a sudden, he's like, whatever.
Yeah. Ugh, I don't even need you, Dad.
I just saved the world.
Ugh. And then they go back to Camp Half-Blood, and they're, like, heroes. And Grover's all like, look, I got my horns! Look, I got my horns! And you know why he got his horns?
Because he successfully completed a quest.
Oh, I was thinking because he had sex.
That could be. You never know with these people.
Yep. Chiron, for some reason, is teaching running. Maybe that's why he walks like a human being in the front, because he likes to run like a human.
He's teaching running?
Yeah, he says like, oh, just put one foot in front of the other, and next thing you know, you're running. It's like, why are you teaching someone how to run? He's supposed to be teaching people, I don't know, archery or like
ancient
healing,
Greek.
Ancient Greek. There's so many skills that he could be teaching, but no. And I guess in the trivia, they say that the names that he yells out to teach them to run are the names of Pierce Brosnan's sons. So maybe Pierce Brosnan just wanted, like,
oh, yeah.
Shout out to my real kids.
I thought that he was just being sarcastic in that point.
Oh, I didn't. I was like, why are you teaching running, you weird man? Yeah, and then we see, like, a Annabeth fighting 5 dudes because Annabeth is amazing.
Yes,
and they just
is.
Can't show that Annabeth is amazing when she's fighting actual monsters, only in training.
Yeah. Typical.
And then there's, like, a whole bunch of sexual tension, and then they start sparring, and they're like,
she's see like, you later. Who's next?
Yeah.
And Percy's like, oh, yeah, baby.
And I can take you on. I'm gonna dominate you.
And then, of course, Annabeth totally shows him up.
Yep. Oh, by the way, I wanted to talk about this. When they drop him off at Half, or whatever, when he gets to Half-Blood Hill for the second time, and Sally drops him off or whatever, she, like, says, like, hope you'll visit me sometime. So does that mean he's living there full time now? He's never going back? I wouldn't go back to that Sally either. But...
Well, do they have the thing with Medusa's head?
It's an after-credit scene.
Oh, jeez. Stupid.
And it's not Sally doing it on purpose, which is annoying. I think it's like...
Maybe they thought murder wasn't appropriate for children's
like, it's
book.
Like Percy puts the head in the freezer and puts a note on the freezer, says, do not open at all. Or, like, because Gabe was coming over to move all his stuff because he was moving out because Sally kicked him out. And he saw a note from Percy saying, whatever you do, don't open this. This is, like, whatever. And Gabe is like, ugh, what? This is still my house. And he breaks a padlock off the fridge, and he opens it up, and then you see Uma Thurman's snake head go, wow! And then it's the end.
I didn't hang around that long.
Oh, I did. I was writing my manifesto, and I was, like, looked up, and I was like, what? yeah, there's a lot of bad things, which is annoying because, like, that's the one, like, real thing that Sally's able to do in the book, which is she takes down Gabe at the end.
Yeah.
And we don't see it, but now it's like it's an accidental murder. Again. Which is not as cool as an actual murder.
Ugh. Again, this movie strips the female characters of their power.
Yeah.
This some feminist podcast should do a whole feminist reading of this film.
Yeah.
Viewing of this film and get back to us. Yeah, so random trivia that's kind of fun. When they drive off from the Lotus Casino,
mm-hmm.
they're driving a Maserati, which happens to have the trident as the emblem.
Oh!
So that was actually some clever placement on their part.
That is really clever.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Fun facts.
Fun fact. All right.
And then, in addition to, wait, what? Oh, I don't, this one's kind of obvious if you know, like, mythology, but apparently the Hermes is also the god of thieves.
Yeah.
In addition to being the messenger god, so it makes sense that Luke would be the lightning thief, which I never thought about.
Huh. Insight from the movie that we didn't have from the book.
Yep.
It's mind-blowing.
But like I said, if you knew, like, mythology at all, you'd know that Hermes stuff.
I really thought about that.
Yeah.
Final thoughts. So do you have final thoughts?
My final thoughts on this movie are that it's really disappointing.
Yeah.
A really disappointing adaptation of these books.
Yeah.
Of this book. They did not do justice to the book at all, I felt, and to its readers. Because that is not at all what people were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I always try to, like, watch movie adaptations from a lens that's not colored by the book.
Yeah.
But even when I try to do that with this movie, I feel like it...
it's still not a great movie.
Yeah, like, it's just, like, we're still missing the motivation on Luke's part.
Mm-hmm.
We're still missing, like, a legitimate motivation. I mean, I guess finding your mom is pretty good motivation to go to the underworld.
Yeah, but forgets, like, the entire title.
Yeah. So... In that case, like, the Lightning Thief.
Like, they should have renamed it Percy Jackson and the Highway to Hell. Or something like that. Like,
yeah. So, it's like, I don't know, I just didn't think it did anything justice.
Mm-hmm.
And it really bums me out.
Yeah. So.
That's my final thought.
And then I wrote down a lot of curse words as my final thought. But to uncursify it. So whenever a adaptation is made, changes have to be made,
mm-hmm.
because it is two different formats completely. Like, movies, a different thing than a book. Surprise. So because of that changes have to be made. That being said, the choices that were made to change in this movie were all the wrong choices.
Yeah.
They changed everything just a little bit. just a little bit. Oh, we'll just age him up a few years. It'll be fine. Oh, we'll just do this instead of this. It'll be fine. And it just lost, it lost all of its charm. It lost everything that it was supposed to be.
Yep.
Okay, line from my crazily written manifesto. They took a well-built universe with a crazy amount of scholarly content and research that never looks down on the reader for a lack of knowledge. And they made that universe into a strangely sexual and overly simplified to the point of rudeness and insanity. This movie is disrespectful to the author and disrespectful to the viewer and reader. Period. Done. End of manifesto.
I agree. No, like what you said, though, about how the books never look down on the readers.
Yeah.
That is so true. Like, Rick totally assumes that even if you don't know Greek mythology, that you're, like,
yeah,
in a semi-intelligent person at least, and you can, like, learn.
And he has, because the narrator is Percy, who doesn't know anything about Greek mythology, when you don't know anything and Percy doesn't know it, you're fine, and you're learning with it. And
yeah.
It's great. It's a great tactic for it.
And in this movie, they just, like, assume everybody's stupid and doesn't know anything.
Yeah. Then they think that they're like, oh, we'll take advantage of that lack of knowledge and just stomp all over it. So then those people who do have a small amount of knowledge are just being like, this is wrong!
Yes.
So many things.
I feel like we could go on.
I think we could easily for more and more hours and hours and hours of this. But I don't know what else to say other than I don't recommend watching this movie if you like this book. I don't think I would recommend watching this movie if you didn't read the book.
Yeah, just
I don't know. I don't know what to say. Like, do you think that they did anything right?
Well, the costumes are really cool.
Mm-hmm. Visually it was good.
Yeah, visually it was neat. Actors, as we said, not terrible. Most of them, like the main three, are pretty good, but
they're not the book characters. Yeah. They're
their own characters. Yeah. Halfway through watching this, I was like, I can't even, like, this can't even be considered an adaptation of this book.
No,
it just needs to be watched as its own thing.
Mm-hmm. Because there's just too many changes that were made, and what's annoying is that the changes weren't large. Everything was just shifted a little bit to the right. And the overall shift was like a turnaround. Because you turned everything to the right, everything turned around. Oh, great, cool. It's a different thing now.
Yeah.
Would you watch a different revamp if they did Percy Jackson again?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I would too. And I guess that when Rick signed papers, he basically signed away all movie deals. So he won't be guaranteed to have any insight on the next, if they make a movie or a TV show, he will not really necessarily be involved. And he was sort of involved in this one, mm-hmm. in that sometimes they would ask stuff and he would say stuff and then they would ignore stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm just hoping. So Fox owned the rights to the movies and then Disney just bought Fox.
Oh.
So Disney now has the rights to the Percy Jackson movies, so.
What my dream adaptation of Percy Jackson would be something akin to, like, the animation style, not even animation style necessarily, but just, like, the way that it's done. The She-Ra animated series on Netflix, or Voltron, or not Voltron. I haven't actually watched Voltron, so maybe Voltron.
I don't want an animated adaptation.
I know, but I feel like that might be all we might get. If we get a TV series, I think it will be animated. But if we get a movie, I think it'll be something that they could do, like the Marvel Universe.
That would be cool. Obviously, it would be on, like, a way scaled down version.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know. They could. They probably could just make it a huge Marvel Universe type thing if they wanted to.
Well, yeah, because
but I don't know if there's an audience for that. That's the thing.
But, like, 10 years ago, they didn't know.
Yeah, there wasn't necessarily an audience for.
There's no way they could have predicted how well the Marvel movies were going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, They released Iron Man, and then they were like, people like these movies, and then they kept releasing more.
Yeah.
And it was just like, there's no possible way they could have predicted that.
Yeah. And the thing about Marvel movies is that they all have a beginning, middle, end. They all have an end. Well, except for Infinity War, but it will have an end.
End game, to be precise.
I could see them doing it, but I think it's also hard because Percy Jackson is so, everything's all tied together. And they do all have, like, their own individual, each movie has its own individual quest, but there is also the overarching quest. So yeah, I think it would be hard to do, but I think they could do it.
There are so many, okay, look at the Harry Potter movies, not to, like, repeatedly go to this, but they did it.
They did.
He did it!
Christopher
Columbus did it!
Yeah.
Why couldn't he have done that again?
I don't know. And the thing is, when you look at his IMDb, after Percy Jackson and the Olympians, there's about a 6-year gap between projects for him. Like, he produces more stuff. But maybe as a director. So do we have anything else to say?
No.
Movie would be cool if it was done again. This movie sucks. Don't watch it unless you have to.
We'll have another movie episode, one more.
Yep. Next episode, we're going to be doing Good Things. We're doing the musical.
Yes.
I was listening to the soundtrack, and I was like, oh, I love it. So see you next week for the musical. We'll be a lot happier then, and there'll be a lot less groans, I hope.
Yeah, and hopefully I'll have more energy to be excited.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm just sad, because this movie sucks, and my throat hurts.
Okay, so...
Plugs.
Yep. So we're still looking for quest queries. We didn't really have money this episode because we're just angry. We don't have questions.
Nobody questions when they're angry.
So send us your quest queries or your just stories about this book, comments on this movie, stories about this movie, whatever. Send us that to our email, 4600.podcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Rate, review, subscribe, all that jazz.
Thanks. Hey, by the way, we peeped somebody's iTunes review, so thanks.
Yep. Thank you. Twitter and Instagram, floor_600. Tumblr, floor600podcast. Follow us on all the things. We hope you do.
Happy questing.
Happy questing. And beware of monsters!
Yeah.
Ha ha ha.